Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication of the Society for Music Theory.
This is the fourth episode in Alex Yonker and Peter Schubert's five-episode mini-series on idiomatic improvisation as a pedagogical technique in the music theory and oral skills classroom. In this episode, students improvise a Renaissance first species canon with Peter, teaching them to listen, think, and sing all at the same time in a simple diatonic context.
Hi, I'm Alex Yonker, and I'm back with my colleague and mentor, Peter Schubert. This is the fourth episode in our idiomatic improvisation series. The idiom of the day is Renaissance first species canons. Peter, this is something that you have a lot of experience with and the way you got started with improvisation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I think it was back in 1990 that I gave a paper at SMT about improvisation. And the technique that I was using was one I found in Lusitano's treatise, where he shows how to improvise a canon against a cantus firmus. This is actually incredibly hard, and we never ask our students to do this. But I wondered if I could teach myself to do it. And so I had to memorize 14 contrapuntal patterns. Like if I saw, this is more on the book kind of stuff. If I saw a descending step in the cantus firmus and I was a fifth above, what could I do that could be imitated at the fourth below a minim later? So I taught myself to do this. It was incredibly hard, because we don't have memories anymore, really. I just thought this was just horrible. And I did it with recent graduate student, Jim McKay. And I made the audience make up a cantus firmus. And then I looked at the cantus firmus and figured out what patterns I should use. And I sang the line. And then Jim, we did it again. And Jim sang the answering line a fourth below after a half note. And there was a big discussion there. I said that I thought that musical imagination in the Renaissance was largely visual, and some people freaked out. People don't want to think that, I think, about music in general, so there was a big discussion about that. Anyway, then I left, and I went to the elevator in the hotel where the meeting was, and somebody was standing there who had been at my paper, and he said, "You got balls." And I thought, that is for sure the nicest thing anybody could ever say after an SMT paper.
Absolutely. One of my favorite parts about this activity when we do it in the classroom is that it has two students or multiple students improvising together. So our other activities, we often have our students working together, but one of them is often improvising while the other one is playing a bass line or doing something a bit more prescribed. Where in this activity, as you'll hear, both people are improvising at the same time. We have a leader that's improvising a melody, and in real time, a follower has to be listening so that they know what to sing and improvising the response.
It's very hard to listen and sing at the same time, because while you're singing your note, you have to remember where the leader went, in what direction, what interval, and it's hard to make up the melody for the leader, but it's also hard to be the follower. And so everybody suffers a little bit.
Our student improvisers for today are Grant and Alice. So we'll hear Grant first.
He does only steps and thirds.
Yeah.
So there's a way to restrict this for the beginner. Actually, it was Julie Cumming who came up with this idea, that you only do stay on the same note or go up a step or go down a third. And that simplifies life for everybody, because the follower also knows that those are the only intervals that they will have to sing.
So let's listen to Grant doing this.
I'm Grant Kane. I am a cello performance major in second year.
So in the Renaissance, they could improvise little canons, and there are simple rules for what the lead voice can do. And to even simplify them further, I'm going to tell you that from any note, you can sing the same note again, or you can go up a step, or you can go down a third.
Okay.
From any note. So it's not like scale degrees.
Okay.
It's just like from any note. And then I can do, if you do that, I can do the same thing a fifth lower.
Okay.
And it will sound great all the time. It's going to be consonants, consonants, consonants. Everybody's going to be happy. So sing a note. Okay, that's very good. Now sing a tune that only goes up steps or stays on the same note or goes down thirds and has a very regular rhythm.
What note did I even sing?
Doesn't matter. Hold on.
No.
I think you're not following the rules.
No, yeah. I'm not.
What intervals did you just sing?
3, 2, 1, 3. Wait, no.
So you went down two steps.
Yeah, and you can only go up a step.
Oh,
you can only go up a step or down a third.
Oh, you can't go down a step.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I see.
So your intuitions will tell you, I would like to sing down a step. And the rules say, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that because it won't make a good canon.
Okay, okay.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. And my first note is going to be
okay,
here we go.
No, you have to
get moving.
He's
going to
be a beat after
note.
You.
Oh.
So it's a canon one beat later.
I see.
And down
a
fifth.
Okay.
I guess I forgot to say that.
Da 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 da.
I'm right with you. You don't like what I said?
No, it's good. Because mine ends. Da, 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 da. That's it.
Okay.
I think. Should I go on?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
If I can follow you, that's all that matters.
Da, 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 da.
That was, that's like the longest canon I ever heard. Using
you didn't know how to end.
It's like kept going up and then.
Wow.
One thing students often struggle with in this activity is differentiating between successive melodic motion and scale degrees. So when we say you can go up a second or go up down a third, for them, a lot of the time they're like kind of locked into a key and they want to think, like scale degree 2, scale degree 3. And that's not the case here. They can sing from any pitch that they're on. They can sing up a second or down a third. And that is a whole adventure for the leader to kind of wrap their brain around. For the students that catch on to this quickly, you can increase the challenge a little bit by getting out of first species and adding in some passing tones. So let's listen to Alice do this now.
My name is Alice Renaud. I'm a second year at the Schulich School of Music. I am an early music voice performance major as a soprano. I also do organ on the side. I have no experience improvising. I'm definitely a note reader type of girl.
Go ahead, make up a tune.
Da, 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 da.
No, can't go down a step.
Oh, no going down a step. Oh, sorry.
So up a step or down a third.
Or down a third.
It's actually very hard because your intuition, your melodic sense, you're going
to
want to do that sometimes. But I'm sorry, you can't if you want to make a canon with me.
Okay.
Da, 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 da. That's perfect. That's perfect.
Okay.
You remember it?
Yes.
No. Okay, here we go. You start.
Okay.
Da 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 da.
I don't know what. Okay.
That was great.
That was beautiful.
And you could hear that it sort of sounds vaguely Renaissance.
Vaguely Renaissance.
Okay. So we're going to skip ahead to something more difficult. Why don't you start by doing a repeated note and then go down a third and then see what happens.
Da 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 da.
Okay, I like it. Now I want you to, every time you sing a third descending, put in a passing tone.
Da da da.
Yeah.
Okay. Are the passing tones supposed to be like...
in between the beats.
Okay, so it really is. Okay.
Yeah, it's
that was
really
right. Okay.
In the weak, like the weak part of the... like,
okay.
Na, da, da, like
okay,
that.
Okay. Okay.
And if you want to go up a fourth, you can go... da, 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 da.
Ooh,
and
I like that. Okay,
that's
okay.
Sexy. Yeah, we like that.
Okay, okay.
Ready? Here we go again.
Sure. Da, 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 da.
You went down a step.
I wanted to go down a step. So
and
bad.
I heard that fourth, and I like freaked out.
Sorry.
That was so good.
That was excellent.
So one thing that's interesting about improvising canons is that you can do it without actually knowing what mode or key you're in. Like when I improvise canons, I sing a third, and I actually don't care which size third it is or where it might lie in the diatonic. I just sing some third, and then the other person sings the same size third because they have to imitate me. And that means that there's no mode, there's no key. It's completely free, and you could modulate around the circle of fifths. This actually happens all the time, that as you introduce a new fourths, maybe you introduce some flats, and the next thing you know, you're in C flat major. That can happen. And so in the next improvisation that you hear, I encouraged Alice to start with a different size second. And I think in her case, the visualization, she was visualizing actual white notes on the piano, and you don't need to do that. You know, there are different ways to do this. And there, I have a colleague, Catherine Motus, in Basel, and when she teaches it, she teaches first you sing the scale of the keys, which is exactly mm-hmm. what you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
and then you sort of fit your improvisation into that.
Yeah.
And I don't do that at all. I just say, just start singing and
make something
sing
up.
In the Phrygian mode if you want.
Ooh.
You want to do that?
No.
Here's what you do. Seriously.
Oh gosh.
So we're going to start on C.
Okay.
Oh, no, we're going to start on A. Mm-hmm. And your second note, you can go up a step, has to be B flat.
Okay.
Sing something like that and repeat your first note.
Da 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 da
da da da da da. That was nice, and it was in a different mode, and it had a totally different feel,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was good. Except we didn't have any descending thirds with passing tones.
Could you stick some of that in? I did the...
Could you do that?
I can try.
Yeah, no, I think you can do it.
Let's start here again. Okay. Da, da, da.
No,
that was lovely.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought my fourth was wrong.
No, it's good.
Okay.
In Europe, they use improvisation a lot more than they do in North America, but it's really restricted to the early music crowd. And the question is this really useful for the general population? What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, this is something that we get all of our students to work on. And I think there's so many valuable things that they learn here about melodic motion and listening while they're singing and working together and creating these like nice consonances. I think they're getting a lot out of this experience that they don't get in a lot of our other traditional activities, and it's totally worthwhile for everybody to try.
And they like it, right?
They love it. And I feel like this one also, because when you first introduce it, a lot of the time it sounds like something that's going to be completely impossible for them to do. When I first teach it, I do it out of time. Like I have somebody make up a melody first, and then we all repeat back that melody. And then we repeat it down a fifth. And then we figure out how that sounds. And then we put it together as a canon. And when we do it that way, they're like, okay, I can do this. And then I tell them after we try that a couple times, you, by the end of this, you'll be able to do this in real time. And they think, no way. Uh-huh. And then by the end of the semester, when they can actually do it, they're so excited about it. Like, I remember first learning this and thinking I could never do this in real time, but they can. And I think that's such an exciting accomplishment for them.
Yeah, that's great. So tune in soon for the next episode of our series, which is the last one.
Yeah, our last one is on classical phrase continuations.
Okay.
We want to extend our thanks to all of the students who improvised for us in the early stages of this project, including Maria Delaney, Rachel Hoddle, Ben Charo, Nick Miski, Mia Moore, Lavinia Lee, Alice Renault, Emily Popolo, Jasper Ward, Hubert Pavé, and Grant Kane. Not only did their performances help us develop our ideas, but we also had a lot of fun in the process. Thanks to Jack Kelly for his help with the recording setup, and thanks to the staff at the Marvin Duchaux Music Library at the Schulich School of Music for their assistance in acquiring the recording equipment. Thanks also to our colleagues Lisa Lorenzino, Isabel Cossette, and Justin Mariner for their feedback and sharing ideas on improvisation and pedagogy. To Nick Miski, thanks for suggesting the title Idiomatic Improvisation. And finally, a big thanks to the production team at SMT Pod, who made the publication process smooth and made helpful suggestions throughout to make this work the best it could be. Our team lead, Caitlin Martinkus, our peer reviewers, Phil Duker and Joe Strauss, and our production leads, Amy Hatch and Katrina Rausch. Thanks.
Visit our website at smtpod.org for supplemental materials related to this episode, and to learn how to submit your own episode proposal. You can join in on the conversation by tweeting us your comments and questions to @smt_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Maria Tartaglia, with closing music by Yika Zhang. Thanks for listening.